the book of Nehemiah. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to come. The Lord has opened many doors for me since I was called. I was called the 5th of February. I announced it the 22nd, which was a Wednesday night, and I preached my first message that next Sunday, I believe it's the 26th. And the Lord has been sending me opening doors and sending me to many churches all over Watauga and Ashe County, and many churches without pastors. There's a lot of churches without pastors. There's a lot of churches that don't want a pastor. There's a lot of churches that don't want to hear the Word of God. And we're in that apostate age. The seventh letter to the seventh church of Laodicea in Revelation 3, and we know that's the tribulation church, but people think that we're still in the Philadelphia church of grace. But we're not. We're in that age of the apostate church. We have been for a long, long time. There's an overlapping of time. One period doesn't stop sharp and another one take on. There's an overlapping. Just as the New Testament is an overlapping, or the gospel is overlapping for the New Testament from the Old Testament. There's a period there of transition. And we're in that transition period in those latter days. It's already been said, and we see this. And my thought comes about the conditions of the walls of the church. And I'm not talking about these walls here. I'm talking about the walls within ourselves. What we built on, is it gold and silver and precious stones, or is it wood, hay, and stubble? Or have we done, is this day and time, so many things do, we've mixed alloys. We've mixed them. And they may be workable, and they may be standing for a little while, but they won't stand the test of time and the test of fire, and the walls are going to come down, there's going to be a breach in it. And this is my thought from the prayer room this morning, because one of the brethren asked that pray for some in his family, friends of the family, that they were deceived. They thought they were standing on good ground, but they're not. They're standing on sinking sand. They're going by works. And when he made the comment to help him pray, that's good. We need to help each other pray to strengthen. Much is done by prayer. But we shouldn't leave it up to other people when God gives us the ability, his word, to go and do for ourselves. Why? Exodus 14, I believe, talks about why Christ thou unto me. After the Lord's given you that faith and that strength, why put off and delay by prayer? We need to go into action. And this is what Nehemiah did in his day and time. He went into action. He had a burden. He saw a burden. He saw a need. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first verse and four verses or five out of chapter 2. If you would, I'd like you to stand for the reading of God's word. And the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hecalacta, and it came to pass in the month of Chisel, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the Lord, the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that loveth him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayers of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the words that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye will turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost parts of the heavens, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon wall, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. In verse 17 and 18. Then said I unto them, this is talking to the people, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, to come for thee, to stand, to say something for thy word, Lord God, praying that we be obedient to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, for we know nothing we can do is worthy of anything, but through you we have the ability to bring forth thy word. And I pray, Lord, that you take this word and scatter it and sow it into the hearts of those that are here, Lord, that you can bring much harvest out of this, Lord, much fruit in the days to come. Lord, be with us and help us and strengthen us. For this we ask in Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen. You may be seated. Building up the walls of this good work. There's a good work to be going on, and we need not to leave it to anybody else. If you're a born-again child of God, you're a servant of the Lord. You bought with a price, that precious blood of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And you have a responsibility. You're bought for the will of the Father to do His purpose for whatever it is. And that purpose is to lead others to the Lord. That's our purpose. That's God's will, to lead others to the Lord. And we see here that to do this, we're going to need many things considering the walls. First thing we're going to have is we're going to have to inquire. Nehemiah had to inquire. Verse 2 says that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped in the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. He had to inquire. Many times we sit around and we don't inquire. We're in that apostate age that we're content, we're lukewarm, we're comfortable where we're at, and we don't consider anybody else, we just consider self. There's an old disease going around right now that is very contagious. The Lord put this on my heart this morning, praying. The disease is contentment. And that disease has side effects, weakness, blindness, lameness, and if not gone to the physician about and done something about, it will lead to death. And that's what happened in Laodicea. That church, when it was started, was a spiritual, thriving church at the beginning. But it got into that contentment, that comfort zone, that lukewarm condition, and they became apostate church. And the Lord God said, I will spew thee out. Now, once saved, always saved. So these people that's in that church are not saved because he wouldn't spew them out. Amen? He wouldn't spew them out. So they had let men crept in unaware with little changes. They didn't come in boldly and change great big doctrines. They came in changing little things at a time. I had said, most of you know, some of you don't, I moved up here from Florida in 1977, never been back. This is my home. I've spent most of my life here. I love it here. I love the people. I love being in the Bible Belt. I never went to church when I was in Florida. I never was taken to church. I was never told to go to church. I didn't know nothing about church. I didn't know nothing about God until I moved up here. Thank God. It was a blessing from God to meet Brother Bill and his daughter that I might learn something about God, somebody that would lead me to the Lord. And I thank him for that. But when I moved up here in 77, they were talking about, for the past few years, talking about global warming. If global warming warmed up a half a degree a year, that's not much of a difference in a year. You can't notice it, can you? A half a degree a year. But I've been up here 34 years. If that was a half a degree a year, that would be a change of 17 degrees by this day. That's the difference between this country's climate and down in Lenore and Wilkesboro, that hotter climate down there. There'd be no snow. It grows into a big thing. Those men came in, crept in unaware with just small changes. But over a period of time, those changes have conceived and brought forth, and they've grown. And we're not willing to put those changes aside, because that's the seed that we have conceived. And we love that seed. And the more it grows, the more we love, until it comes to a point there's nothing we can do about it. Only God can do about it. We need to be aware of what we have in our life, what we build our walls on, what material we use to build our walls, whether it's gold, silver, and precious stones, or whether it's wood, hay, and stubble, or whether we're mixing them together and making alloys. Amen. And you have to have a care. You have to inquire the conditions of the church, of the building. Where God puts his name, you have to inquire these things. The next thing you're going to need is you're going to have a burden. Nobody has a burden no more. It was told years ago, many of you know, many of you older godly saints know, the revivals that went on before, that there's been much prayer. We've just come out of a two-week revival, and it was a blessing. The Lord done great works there these last 2 weeks. But it had been mentioned about in older days that some of the women would gather on the church steps and sit down and weep and cry and pray for lost souls. They had such a burden that they mourned. Nehemiah mourned. He wept. He mourned certain days and prayed and fasted. We don't have that these days. We need to ask for a burden. And if we seek with a true heart to our Lord and Savior for a burden, he will give us a burden for the people. And he will help us with that burden. He will give us the strength to go with that burden, do something. Amen. To inquire and to have a burden is not enough. You have to do something with that burden. Amen. You have to just not sit down and weep and mourn and fast and pray. But when God answers you, you have to pray. You have to seek God's will. And once you seek God's will, you have to confess your sins that you can be in communion with the Father and have faith in what God's Word tells you to do, to go with that faith. The same faith that saved you, grace by faith, is the same faith that will lead you, go with you, never leave you or forsake you, but go with you all the way to do that work that he would have you to do. It's the same faith. If you don't have enough faith to go and do that work that he gives you to do, I don't know if you have enough faith to save you. It's the same faith, that faith that keeps you out of hell, saved by the precious blood of Christ Jesus, is the same faith that will lead you to that work God gives you to do. Each and every one of us, there's no difference. We're all, if we're born again, child of God, we're disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a job to do, and that's to get out the gospel to the whole world. Everybody. And there's many people in our county that don't know what the gospel is. They've never heard it. There's many people that's deceived. I have a boy at work I work with, been talking to him for about 3 months now. He's used the NIV. He's deceived. I gave him one of them flyers, the pre-version we have. You probably got some here. Give it to him. And he told me after he read that the next day, he said, I've been praying for the last 5 years to Satan. I didn't know. He was deceived. Somebody had taught him on walls built of wood, hay, and stubble. Right. Amen. They had deceived him, maybe not intentionally. This boy had good thoughts. He had good intent, but that's not going to get you into heaven. He was deceived because somebody else had deceived him. What is your walls built out of? What are my walls built out of? Or have we mixed these alloys, or are they gold, silver, and precious stones? So we see that once we have inquired, once we have a burden, we pray and seek God's will, we confess our sins, we have faith in God's word to do that which he asked us to do, we have to view the problem. Amen. Nehemiah went and viewed the problem. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put on my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. He had to go and view the conditions of the church, of the walls. He had to go out and look. We're to look. We're not just to sit in that comfort zone, that content, and assume everything is all right, but we need to go out and observe. And we can observe in our daily activities at work. You can tell what people's built on just in a little bit by hearing their conversations. Amen? Where their treasures are is where their heart is. Where their mouth speaks, that's where they're at. And it doesn't take long to see where they're at. And we can be that missionary to these people out in our own little work area. If I do it, and if you do it, and if you do it, and each one of us do it, great things can be done. Look at verse 3. They were in great affliction and reproach. It's amazing to me what conditions people get used to. Amen? These people, the walls are burnt down, and the gate are broken down, and the gates will burn. The enemy could come in anytime they want and take what they wanted and spoil them and leave. Anytime they want. And they accepted this as a way of life. Oh, that's just what it costs to live. We win some, we lose some. We'll not pull all our fruits out and put them out here for sale. We'll just pull a few out because the enemy might come and take that. That's what it cost us to live. That's what we're saying today. That's what we're seeing today. We're in great affliction and reproach, but we've come used to it. That's just what it's going to cost us to live. Amen? That's what it's going to cost. Instead of doing something about it, they knew the walls were broken down and the gates were burned, but they weren't willing to do anything about it. They were content in that condition, and they weren't willing to do nothing. I've done all I'm going to do. I'm saved. That's all I need. I'm going back to the world. I'm leaving it up to somebody else. Let them do it. That's not the attitude. We're all to have a part in this. Everybody, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the Bible tells us in Proverbs. We're to have a burden and do something about that burden. When we see that affliction, when we see that reproach, there's reproach on the church this day and time because the world's watching us. There's somebody watching all the time. And we are in the flesh and we're going to sin. And that's what they look for right there. I sent a birthday card out to one of the members in our Sunday school class. And my wife bought a box of birthday cards. And some of the birthday cards in it had NIV scriptures in it. And we get rid of them. We don't send them out, we throw them away. But we missed one. We're in the flesh, we missed one. And she sends it out. I don't have nothing to do with that. She sends it out. And that man received that birthday card. And this was at 11 Compassion for him. And he ran with that because it had an NIV verse in it. He didn't come to me. He started beating me down through others. Amen? The devil used him as a utensil, as a tool to try to get to me, to bring me down, to ruin me. Me just getting started. And I'm in the flesh, I'm going to fall many times. I'm going to make mistakes. But he should have come to me. And that's what the world is. They're looking at not what great things you do as a Christian, but where you fail. That's what they're looking at. And that's where the reproach is at. And they're looking for that. If that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. You've heard them say it all along, all over. And we're to be careful about each step we take. So these people took this great affliction and this reproach, this walls broken down and the gates burned, as just a way of life. They were used to it. And they were content with it. They weren't willing to do anything about it. They were waiting on somebody else to do something about it when it was their part. Now, Nehemiah sees all this, and he goes. He had a place of honor. He was prospering where he was at. He was the king's cupbearer. He lived in the finer side of life. He was in the king's palace all the time, arrayed in goodly clothing, and he prospered in that. But he was willing to give up that place in the world to go to his brethren that were in great affliction and reproach. Just as Moses could have had all of Egypt, the treasures of Egypt, but he chose the afflictions of the people of Israel. He was willing to give it up. It's a picture of us. What are you willing to give up? What am I willing to give up to be able to have this burden to go help our brothers and sisters that need it, the church that needs it? He gave it up. He had to do something. He saw, he inquired. He had a burden, and he gave up his position to go do that work that the Lord had given him. And it says, "And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." This man was the king. He wanted the Lord God to give him mercy in the sight of this man, and God did. He let this man go to Jerusalem. He let Nehemiah go. He also furnished him with a letter that he could get timber from the king's forest. The best forest in all the country, the best timber to rebuild the walls. Amen? If God could do that then, he can do it now. If we're willing to be that obedient vessel for him, he can do it in our government right now. If we ask and seek his will. If we get a burden bad enough that we sit down and weep and mourn over the shape our country's in. Amen? And it's in a terrible shape. I don't know how I'm going to vote. I'm just going to have to follow the Lord because, well, I just don't know how I'm going to vote. It's just bad out there. And we need to have a burden because the walls are broken down. I forgot to put my watch out to see what time it was. But that's all right. I'm going to try to obey the Spirit of the Lord anyway. So we need to have this burden. We need to inquire. And after we've done all these things, we need to start building the walls back. There's a good work to go on. We need to start building the walls back. Now, most of you know that I'm a builder, I'm a carpenter by trade, have been all my life. And when I go in to remodel something, there's a few things we have to do when we go to rebuild back. First thing we have to do is we have to clear out the debris. If you notice in chapter 2, verse 12, "And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put on my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode." And if you look at verse 14, "Then I went out to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass." There was so much debris out there that the beast couldn't pass through the streets. First thing we need to do in rebuilding the walls and do this good work is we need to get rid of the debris that's laying around. We need to get rid of that false doctrine that's brought all this problem, this great affliction, and this reproach upon us. We need to get it out of the way. We need to remove it to where we can get to the wall to do the work. And once we get to the wall, we have to remove the debris that's still in it, the loose debris. You can't just start building back where there's been a hole built, but you have to clean it out down to the foundation. We need to take it back and clean that wall down to the foundation, that rock that it's set upon, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we need to start building back with sound doctrine. We need to build back with gold, silver, and precious stones. Not wood, hay, and stubble. If you start mixing those alloys together, the wall's going to stand for a while. But there's going to become breaches in the walls because that's going to decay. And there's going to be holes in it. And what's going to happen over a period of time and the weather, it's going to create a crack in the wall. Once that crack comes in, it just starts getting bigger and bigger and come down. We need to get that stuff out of the wall. We need to get it out of our life. We need to go back to the sound doctrine of God's Word. That's in this book. Not compromise it because of loved ones we have in our life that we're willing to compromise God's Word because of them. And that happens of tradition and of routine. We do it all the time. It's happened through many churches. Amen? We've seen it. We've all seen it. We need to get that out of the way. We need to stand steadfast on the doctrine of God's Word and start building that wall back. Now that wall, the material to use, Nehemiah used the wood and timber from the king's forest. The best material that was available. We have the best material available to us right now. Right here. We have it. And that's what we need to be building back with. Gold, the commandments of God. Silver, His Word. Precious stones, sound doctrine. We need to build back on these things. We need to keep that wood, hay, and stubble out of the wall, because it might look good for a while, it might stand for a while, but it won't stand the test of time. If we look at 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to subduing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Of devils. That's where we're in. We're in that latter time. These people are giving way from sound doctrine to false doctrine. Something that compromises God's Word, but it's suitable for their life. They're not willing to change their life to fit God's Word. They're willing to change God's Word to fit their life. Amen. That's what's happened with the NIV, the RSV, and all these other V's. They've changed God's Word. And people are deceived by it. We need to get back. We need to have that burden. Men crept in unaware. Those that are separated. There are these that are giving heed to subduing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is what the Lord's put on my heart today. Jude, the book of Jude, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. We're going to be building up walls. These is what we need to build up on, precious stones, gold and silver. Holy faith is to continue instant in prayer. Romans 12 and 12. Rejoice in hope, patience in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer. That's continuing in prayer. What Jude said there in verse 20, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. That's where our holy faith comes. That right there, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patience, and tribulation, continue an instant in prayer. praying in the Holy Ghost. We're to pray into the Holy Ghost, seek His guidance and His influence. Not our self-will, but His guidance and influence. And in the love of God, rejoice in God's love. Be obedient to God's will is how we stay in love of God. We're children of God, and He pleases to bless us if we're obedient to Him, but He'll chastise us if we're not obedient. There's a difference between chastisement and punishment. Chastisement is punishment by love. Amen? He chastises those that He loves to bring them back into correction, into His Word, into His doctrine. This is all I have tonight. This is what the Lord put on my heart. I hope maybe it's been a blessing to somebody here. That we can continue in the work of the Lord, in a good work, building up the walls of our Lord Savior and God's Word to do that work, that we can maybe draw somebody else to the Lord that they might be saved, that they might not end up in hell and damnation forever and ever. Amen. I'm thankful that the Lord saw fit that I could move up into this area 34 years ago, that I could hear His Word. Otherwise, I'd have never known. I'd still been in that shape I was in, lost, dying and going to hell. Amen, brother.